I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Dear congregation, at the end of this first part of this psalm, we are shown our total need of God. O forsake me not utterly. We cannot do one thing without him. And how we need to be humble to recognize that. We need him in everything. Therefore our prayer is, O forsake me not utterly. And particularly in light of what the psalmist is saying here, in view of keeping the commandments, we need the Lord's help. We need him at our side in every situation. We should not think of taking one step without him. And as we come to these words tonight, have you this week considered, have you this day considered, you needed God in everything you have done. We need him. O dear brethren, in the valleys, but then also on the mountains, let us seek to walk with God. Our great concern is to walk with God. You remember the testimony of Enoch. He walked with God. God was with him, and Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5, verse 24. That's our testimony. So how are you walking? How have you been walking with the Lord today? Have you been asking him to help you? In view of your duty in keeping the commandments today, have you asked the Lord to stay near to you? I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. And particularly we see here tonight how we need the Lord. The psalmist was very much aware of his need. There were times when he was not. But here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he penned these words, he was well aware of his need. Well, having set forth his sincere purpose and hearty endeavour to worship the Lord in view of the teaching that he would receive in verse 7, he then writes in verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Well, let's come then directly to these words tonight. First of all, a sincere resolve, and secondly, an earnest plea. A sincere resolve and an earnest plea. I will keep thy statutes. There it is. His sincere resolve. In a moment we'll consider he knows he needs the Lord. And so there's this earnest plea. O forsake me not utterly. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. In the previous verse, he promised to praise the Lord when he had been taught by him. Now we have his sincere resolve to keep the statutes of God. Well, let's consider this here tonight as we think of this sincere resolve. First of all, the statutes. Secondly, the keeping. And thirdly, the resolve. We need to understand what he is referring to when we come to the statutes, and then his resolve that he might keep the statutes. Well, first of all, the statutes. We often hear this expression, the statute books. We can look back and consider particular laws and laws that have been written down, and we're led to consider the statute books. A book in which laws are written, the statute books. Well, a particular Hebrew word, which is translated here as statutes, speaks of appointments, commandments, the law. And so we consider the Ten Commandments. But then further, the whole of the Word of God, as the psalmist did in Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And we consider in the first place how the Lord, how the Holy Spirit often uses the word when he implants faith within. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so there in Psalm 19 we think of the law, we think of the word as a whole, not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole of the Word of God. And so when we think of the statutes here, we can consider the Ten Commandments. We can consider what our Lord said just before he left this world and he laid down the regulative principle. But we consider also the whole of the Word of God. I will keep thy statutes. If you recall a few weeks ago, as we began to look at this psalm, we noted that there are 10 words used throughout the psalm which are used to speak of divine revelation or God's word, which in turn shows us what we have received from God and what we are to do. And here's one of them. Thy statutes. We've received them. They are God's, given to us, and we are to be found keeping them. So the statutes. Well, let's consider secondly, the keeping. I will keep thy statutes. The Hebrew word shoma, which is translated here as keep, is also found in Deuteronomy 6, verse 17. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he have commanded thee. Covering every aspect of the law and every aspect of the word. The testimonies, the statutes which we have been commanded, we are to diligently keep. The word shoma has the meaning of to hedge, to guard, to protect, to mark, to observe, to regard and keep. At school I used to play football each week during the winter. And as I was no good up front, neither in defence, they used to put me in the goal. And, well, I liked being in the goal. I got my mum to buy me a goalkeeper's shirt, this green shirt with padded parts to it. And I used to be there in the goal. And after I broke my thumb finger, I was given a decent pair of goal gloves as well to try and stop the balls going through. So I had to guard the goal. I had to keep the balls from crossing the goal line. And so I had to observe diligently. I had to keep my eye on what was happening. Well, think of the word to keep, to guard, to hedge, to protect, to observe, to regard. It requires effort, dear brethren. That's why we, in a moment, will, with the psalmist, make our plea for the Lord to help us. We need to keep our eye focused. That's so important. Think of the goalkeeper. He needs to keep his eye focused. And so do we. If we're to be found keeping, we need to be watching. Do not let the world distract you. The things of this world, worldliness can be like a smoke screen. And it blurs your vision. And it distracts. We all know what distractions are like. Certain things come along and we're distracted. If we're to keep our eye focused, do not listen to the devil when he comes to tempt. Beware of the power of indwelling sin. It's not a small thing. There is the power of indwelling sin. And we see that with the apostle where he desires to leave this world. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin or death? He knew the power of indwelling sin. Dear brethren, consider the indwelling sin and its power. Keep your eye focused. We need to keep our eyes focused. And where there is the need, if we have slipped, we need to refocus. When the Lord has pointed out some sin, we need to refocus. This is what I am to be doing. See, it's experimental. Christianity, isn't it? It's not just coming to church or just coming to church on the Lord's Day. No, it's that daily activity. Mortifying the deeds of the flesh and putting on the deeds of the new man. Seeking to keep, looking to the Lord by faith and looking to the word. Refocusing our eye. Because we read here, I will keep. There's to be the keeping. And as we saw last Lord's Day, how broad the law is. We thought of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Oh, may the Lord help us to so keep the commandment. Now, if we're to be keeping, we need to be reading. That's so important, isn't it? We need to be reading the word of God. You think when someone's learning to drive, they need to pay attention to the code, the driving code, and so they need to read that little book. It's probably a bit bigger now, but it was a little book in my day. The green cross code, need to keep reading it so you were informed, so you knew what to do. Dear brethren, we need to keep reading every day. We need to keep going through the Bible. It's good to read the Word of God as a whole, isn't it? Not just going each year to certain portions that you like, but reading through the Word of God in a particular way. It's important to be found reading the Word of God. We need to be reading. We need to be meditating. Psalm 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We need to stop and think like Mary. What a busy night Mary had, yet she still found time to ponder. We've all got busy lives, but we're not too busy to stop and meditate on the word. Stop and consider what the Lord is saying to you. It's good to pray before we read, and then to stop and to meditate. This is what the Lord is saying. Or be found meditating, thinking about the word, and then be found keeping. Be the doer of the word. James 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We must be the doers. That's our aim, is it not? Upon a certain occasion, a woman recorded for us in Luke 11 verse 27 lifted up her voice and said unto our Lord, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But then we read in verse 28, the Lord responds, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed. And then it's a blessing. Now we in the first part of this section consider the blessed man. He's the true child of God. And he's found reading. And he's found hearing. And he's found keeping. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. They don't just hear it, but they keep it. There lies the complete blessing there, in the hearing and the keeping. You know, we can listen. We can listen to the word of God. We can listen to sermons, but miss the blessing, because we don't keep. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. They hear it and it goes into the heart, and they find themselves so living in the light of it. Experimental Christianity. There are those who just listen, but that's as far as it goes. How blessed it is when we find the Lord really taking the word and applying it, and we find ourselves turning our feet unto the Lord's testimonies, as the psalmist did. Hearing and keeping. There is much work to be done in conforming to the word. So much work, dear brethren. As we saw last Lord's Day, as we've been reminded of again tonight, the law is so broad. It covers so much. There's so much work to be done. Therefore, there's much praying to be done just for our own lives. In view of our own lives. Oh, let's seek then to pray earnestly that we might conform to the word. Thomas Watson wrote, conform to scripture. Let us lead scriptural lives. We're to be conforming for our benefit, for the good of others, but chiefly for God's glory. And dear brethren, as we think of keeping, we so desire to keep for God's glory, because we know it pleases him and it glorifies him. Well, let's move on then to consider thirdly the resolve here. I will keep thy statutes. I will. David, in the depths of his heart, resolved to keep God's statutes. That's his purpose. That's his resolve. And dear brethren, we find ourselves doing likewise. I will. Beginning myself, I quickly fell. But here's my resolve, my desire in the heart. I will. And remember, it's a psalm. And the psalmist being offered as praise. So the psalmist is not only saying it for the benefit of others, but he's giving God the glory in saying these words. He's saying these words in the ear of God. Oh, to speak more often in view that God is listening. I will keep. And so we need to humbly and sincerely make our resolve before God. It's good for others to hear, but all to particularly consider that the Lord is watching and listening. He who examines the intents of the heart, all to make that sincere resolve before him, I will keep. To talk to the Lord, to be open with the Lord. Lord, thou knowest my failings, but it is my desire, it is my resolve to keep. I will keep thy testimonies or statutes. Now in Psalm 23 verse 6, we see there David's resolve, besides his wonderful anticipation of dwelling in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now often, we think of the latter there, and it's a wonderful anticipation, isn't it? Of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. But we can forget the resolve there as David considers the rest of his life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's thinking, as it were, of two houses in the one sentence. The first house, the house of God here upon earth, where God was known in a special way. And then the Father's house above, where God's immediate presence is known. There's two houses in mind. In view of the latter, it's a wonderful anticipation. What an anticipation we have, dear brethren. The Father's house awaits us. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But till then, I will dwell in the house of God here upon earth. The church, the gatherings of the saints, forever. I will tend the house of God and worship him. That's David's resolve. His wonderful anticipation is going to the Father's house. His resolve is to worship the Lord in the house of God here upon earth. Matthew Henry wrote how resolutely he determines to cleave to God and to his duty. I will dwell in the house of God forever. When you come to that text, just consider what the psalmist is saying. It's good to think of the latter, but think of the former, and make your resolve before the Lord. Well, here's another resolve. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. We often hear of New Year resolutions. What are you going to do? For some, it's to lose weight. For some, it's to work harder, to be more helpful. New Year's resolutions. We ought to have daily resolutions made before God. Not New Year ones, in the sense of we just do it once a year, but every day. I will keep thy statutes, being open with the Lord. Oh, when I think of this, how short I come. No wonder Paul longed to be delivered, and so do I. When will we be keeping the law perfectly in heaven? I will keep thy statutes. Here's this resolve, his daily resolve. Psalm 119, verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Always. This word inclined, it speaks of the stretch. The heart is pulled. The heart is in motion. The heart has been reading, the heart has rather been focusing on the word, and the heart is pulled to the law. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always. There's the resolve. Oh, to be found talking more often with ourselves in what we're going to do for God's glory. Not what I'm going to do to be seen, but what I'm going to do for God's glory. I will keep thy statutes. He's saying it to the Lord. He's thinking of God's glory. I will keep. My mind will be set on it. I will not be deterred. I am resolved. I want to do better. As you read these words, I will keep thy statutes. And then you begin to consider how we fail the Lord. Do not you find yourself saying, I want to do better. We're not content, are we? We want to do better. Is that your sincere desire in your heart tonight? I want to do better. From now till I see Jesus, I want to do far better. I want to walk closer with the Lord. I want to daily have these resolves in my soul. Well, it's good to have such a resolve. Now, if someone's to have a resolve, they need to be thinking. But does it not show further one's desire to grow? Because they want to keep the statutes. They want to be more like Christ, who kept the law perfectly. I will keep thy statutes. That's my desire. But I need help. And so to the Lord we must go. I will keep thy statutes. The psalmist is speaking before heaven. And now he's asking the Lord for help. Oh, forsake me not utterly. The Puritan Thomas Manton wrote, those that resolve upon a certain course of obedience had need fly to God's help. Well, let's now consider then. Secondly, an earnest plea. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. We need God. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Totally, finally, or even for a little while. As we saw last Lord's Day evening, we can take hold of that comfort in Genesis 28 verse 15 of the Lord's abiding and accompanying presence as a whole. And why? Because of grace, as we saw. And then also in view of Christ. Behold, I am with thee. Behold. Dear brethren, that's a comfort, isn't it? And the Lord spake there to Jacob, as the Lord speaks to us, that we might stop and consider the blessing. He is with us. And we can take comfort. The Lord will not totally or finally forsake us. What a comfort. And what a relief. Behold, I am with thee. But it's not to be treated as a light thing, for we do not deserve God's abiding presence. You do not deserve God to be with you in your life. It's all of grace, isn't it? But take the comfort, the Lord will not totally or finally forsake. However, there are times when the Lord is at a distance, or seems to be so. And that is what we see here. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I do not need to prove this with you. And it's a subject we must consider. It's a subject we must humbly consider and recognize at times the Lord may be at a distance. The Lord may be at a distance to the individual believer and to the church. Jeremiah 14 verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Now did you note those words? Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land? Where is the Lord? Yes, the Lord's with them, but the Lord appeared to be at a distance. Leave us not. And in the Song of Solomon 5, verse 2 through to verse 6, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers were sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The Lord came near. He wanted time. He wanted fellowship. But then he withdrew. Those words the Lord has often used in my life. The beloved withdraws to a distance at times. And that can be hard. Now we know there may be other reasons why we do not sense the Lord. And it's not to do with sin. But we see there a reason. And dear brethren, if there's one thing we learn tonight, we do need to recognize that there are times that you may not be sensing the Lord's nearness because you haven't had time for him. That's what we see in the Song of Solomon. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've got to watch that television program tonight. I'll read when I'm done. But you're so tired and you watch the program and you fall asleep. And you never had time with Christ. I put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? You see, there's the believer, I've got no time. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. You see, the Lord stirring the soul. And the believer, yes, oh, I need to again spend time with Christ, and so I will go. But I don't seem to find him. The Lord stirred, but I don't seem to find him. Oh, it's because I didn't have time for him. I was too much in the world. I was too much on myself. There will be times, brethren, when some believers, and if not all believers, at times feels the Lord is at a distance. It does happen. Now as a whole, we take the comfort of Genesis 28 verse 15. Behold, I am with thee. What a comfort that is. He will never totally or finally leave us then. No, he's with us as a whole. He's with his church. But there are times when he is at a distance. Oh, forsake me not utterly. When Peter was at a distance because of his own sin, the Lord was at a distance in chastening him. And there are times when the believer may say, where is my much desired, beloved Jesus? And the church may be found saying that. You remember John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress? And then there's a chapter in the Holy War. Where, oh where, is Emmanuel? And from time to time in the history of the church are found saying that. Oh, where is Emmanuel? The church is taken up with the world. I tell you, the church will be found saying, oh, where is Emmanuel? And the Lord will withdraw to a distance. We must all humbly seek the Lord in our whole lives and as a people here, because we never want the Lord to be at a distance because of our sin. So we must examine our ways. Have we not seen this over recent years as the church has gone through a difficult time in this nation? Is one of the reasons the church has not put the Lord first. What about the fourth commandment? At a distance, is he not? The church must not refuse Christ's submission when he comes to stand at the door and knock. Do not allow apathy to set in, a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. There are times when the Lord is found at a distance. For here the psalmist says, oh, forsake me not utterly. Do not leave me, Lord, because I need thy help in the keeping of the commandments. There was a little boy who went to a local school. He didn't want to be left. And he ran out of the classroom. Do not leave me, he said to his mother. We ought to run to our Heavenly Father. Do not leave us, Lord. Oh, to fill us at times when we've been walking astray. Do not leave us. You know, if we backslide and we walk astray, the Lord may withdraw to a distance. Do not leave us. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Leave us not, Lord. I need thee. One of old wrote, I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Did you think that since the Lord's day? When was the last time you really asked the Lord to stay near to you every hour? Sometimes we don't find ourselves saying that because deep down in our hearts, we're not sure if the Lord would approve of what we're doing. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. We take comfort that though the Lord at a time seems at a distance, he will never totally forsake us, for we are favoured with an eternal favour. Isaiah 54 verse 7 and 8, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer, for a small moment. And are we not thankful for the grace of God seen in those words? For a small moment. He does withdraw to a distance. And we felt that as the church in this country. But see there the grace of God for a small moment. And when we bring that down to our own lives, admire the grace of God. It's just for a small moment. He won't leave us too long. But with great mercies will I gather thee. There may be winter times in our lives, but a spring of blessing will return through the mercy of God, in which we feel the warmth of the sun. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now this is an earnest plea. Forsake me not utterly. Lord, I need thee close by my side. As I read the word of God, as I meditate on the word of God, and as I seek to keep thy statutes, I need the Lord at my side. Not at a distance, but right close to me. Knowing our own weakness, we ask God for help in the keeping of the commandments. Remember those words in John 15 verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. See there our Master. He brings us right down to his feet. And he says this, you can do nothing. And if we think we can, the Lord will show us that we can't. Ye can do nothing. There's a danger pride can arise in our hearts. I can do this today. I need God to help me do this. I'll try and keep the law myself. No, I need God to help me. Yes, when we fail, it's our fault. But all do you see here, we need God. For without me, ye can do nothing. We can't love him. We can't rejoice in him without him. Or to think often of that. For without me, ye can do nothing. In the Song of Solomon, a lovely description. Who is this that cometh forth out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Lean harder, dear brethren. Trust not to yourself. Lean not unto your own understanding. Lean on Christ. You try and lean on yourself, you'll fall over. Lean on Christ, you'll be helped. Lean on him. Earnestly pray, oh, forsake me not utterly. I know the weakness of my heart. I know the sin within. Lord, come alongside me, so help me that I might keep thy law. Psalm 88 verse 2, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Let my prayer come. And we began by considering that God hears everything. He sees everything. He knows everything we say. He knows all the words in our hearts. But here we are. We're earnestly praying. We're praying that God, who inhabits eternity, would listen to the prayers in this little place tonight. And in our closets as we pray. Let my prayer come before thee. Lord, thou art listening to everyone around this village, but let my voice be heard tonight. Let my prayer come. Lord, thou dost listen to so many in this world who are praying, but let my prayer be heard, because my resolve is to keep the commandments and love thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Think what the psalmist is asking God to do. To stretch, as it were, his ear and listen. Oh, to begin prayer like that more often, to ask God to listen, to bow down his ear in condescension and listen to us. Who are we? Yet we are the apple of his eye. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. Listen, Lord, because I can do nothing without thee, and I want to keep the commandments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Do not we earnestly pray, as we have been taught, lead us not into temptation. Need God's help there? Well, here we earnestly pray, O forsake me not utterly. Come alongside. Be near me, Lord. Come and help me. O forsake me not utterly. Here's an earnest plea from the bottom of his heart. And the prayer was answered. Dear brethren, our prayers will always be answered when we go humbly to the Lord, seeing our total need of him. He will come. He's with us all the time. But if he has been at a distance, he will draw near. And through the Spirit, he will so help you to keep the statutes. He will come. He will help. You make this simple prayer. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Come, Lord. And he will. We want to please him. We want to do that which is right. Do we not? We want to keep all the Ten Commandments every day. And as we consider the breadth of the Lord, there's so much to be doing. We want to love God. We want to be saying to him, I love thee and I love thee. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Because my heart is pulled to the world at times. My heart is pulled to myself at times. Lord, forsake me not. I want to keep the commandments. And love is the fulfilling of the law. My love may be cold. Come, Lord, touch my heart and help me to love thee. The psalmist begins by considering the blessed man. He ends this first portion of Psalm 119 asking God to come. Dear brethren, we are blessed, but we need God to come again and again to help us on our way. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Dear brethren, take comfort. That prayer is answered already. He will not totally or finally forsake you. But there can be times when there's a distance. Let's all be honest with the Lord. Because he knows when he's at a distance. We don't have to tell him that. He already knows. But take comfort. He delights, as the faithful shepherd, to come alongside the sheep. If you feel he's at a distance, you earnestly plead with him to come. He will come. And he'll help you. Amen. Let us pray.